Tuesday, June 13th, 2023. I am Solid Blue Sister, and this is my turn to talk. And welcome, welcome, wherever you are, whatever platform you're listening. Thank you and welcome. Whether you're listening live or on the replay, I thank you. And I hope everyone is having a wonderful day. I am having a wonderful day. Hey, Frankie. Hey, Lou. Welcome. I hope everyone is today, because I am Minnesota, welcome, welcome. All right, so let's get started. Okay, what are we talking about today? Oh, when it's time to exit stage left, when do you call it quits? And I'm talking about in a relationship, I'm talking about at your job, I'm talking about if you're part of some group, I'm talking about, you know, you're calling quits on your family, I'm talking about whatever, your friend, whatever. When do you call it quits? When is it time to exit stage left? Do you have to be told, or do you just know? And do you worry about hurting someone's feelings, or do you do what's best for you? Do you tiptoe around the subject? What do you do? You know, some people, if you're in a relationship, and Lou says, always got to do what's best for yourself. You are absolutely right. But what if you're part of a group? You know, what if you're part of a team and you want to quit? And, you know, they say everybody who's part of a team, everybody makes that will go round. What if you're an integral part of the team, but you just don't want to be part of that team anymore and you want to leave? What do you do? You know, do you gradually bring people up? Like, do you start dropping hints and you gradually, you know, keep dropping these hints until the day comes when you just say, y'all, you know, I'm sorry, but it's just not working out for me. What do you do? And you have some situations in relationships where you're ready to call it quits, but that other person, you know, they go a little psycho or whatever, or they're like, no, please stay, whether it's male or female, whatever. Some people don't want to let go. So, Do you stay longer? Or do you stay, you know, because your mother asked you to, your father asked you to, your grandmother said, well, you know, Lou, you know, if you just, you know, they're having a hard time, you know, maybe you can stay a little bit longer. Maybe you can do this a little bit longer. And you're like, no, I don't want to do this. So do people stay around to please others? So when is it time to call it quits? I say, if you're not having fun anymore, if you're not happy, on a job, yes, you know, a lot of people stay on their jobs because, you know, they need that paycheck. They need to pay rent. They need to pay tuition. They need, you know, to pay their utility bills. Baby needs new shoes, whatever. I get that. But should those people start looking elsewhere? And if they can't find another job elsewhere, maybe they look within themselves and say, well, is there something that I can do where I can open up my own business, do whatever? But do you stay on a job that you have just been so unhappy with, where your boss treats you like crap, or even your boss doesn't treat you like crap? You may sit back and watch your boss treating other people like crap. GP, welcome, welcome. What do you do? I mean, what does it take for you to say it's time to go? Lou says, unfortunately, and he says, I stayed in my marriage 3 years longer than I should have for my son. And Lou, you make a good point. Is it good to stay in a relationship for children? I never thought that it was, because to me, at the end of the day, I think everyone is unhappy. I think kids know when mom and dad are, you know, fighting, or, you know, they're not speaking to each other, whatever, you know, they pick up on that. You know, yes, people want to say have mother and father in the house or whatever, but sometimes that's not the best solution. You know, you're dating someone, she's going to have a baby. You weren't planning on getting married. Do you get married just because, you know, the father is holding a shotgun on the boyfriend? I mean, are those good reasons to get married? Because more than likely, those marriages are going to fail. You know, do you take that job that you really don't want to take, but you need the money? And then you get to the point where, okay, well, I have this job, I'm getting paid, blah, 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 blah. And then you're there for 10 years, you know, and you wanted to leave. But, you know, you have the job, so you just stop looking for another one. You know, you have a friend that you met that, you know, is getting on your last nerve, you know, and you find out that you all really don't have much in common. You know, as you guys have grown older, people grow apart. You know, that same friend that you hung out with when you all were 10 may not be the same, you know, person when they're 16, 18, 30, you know, whatever. But they still want to hang out with you. You don't want to hang out with them. Do you gradually not return their phone calls? Do you gradually not return their texts? Or do you just come out and say, you know what? I think we've grown apart, and we should take a you know, break from each other. And Lou says, I know plenty of people who have never grown up yet. Lou, I think we all probably do. I think we all probably do. But, you know, what do you do? So, I don't know. I have this thing that I tend to do every so often. And it's what I call my front row. And every so often I have to look at my front row to see, you know, do people belong there? And I've been bounced out of someone's front row before. Okay. You know, And Lou says, I've never had a problem cutting people off. I'm an expert. Expert at it. You know, so it isn't necessarily, yes, you are cutting them off, but at the same time, should those people recognize that you've grown apart, or you have nothing in common, that there's just not anything there that satisfies you anymore? You know, Lou says, I'm a kind-hearted person, and most people deserve nothing. I'm a kind-hearted person, and most people deserve nothing. I'm a little confused about that, Lou. I'm a kind-hearted person, most people deserve nothing. Welcome, Power Girl and Shelby. So when you say most people deserve nothing, are you saying that most people don't deserve friendship? I'm not exactly sure what you mean by that. Personal experience. That's oxymoron right there, you think? Oh boy. You know, are you saying that most people don't deserve to be told that they're getting kicked to the curb? Is that what you're saying, Lou? Because I'm a bit confused there. I'm a bit confused. A lot of people don't deserve. Oh, a lot of people don't deserve your kindness. Okay. All right. So would you say that you deserve other people's kindness? And the reason why I ask is because, you know, sometimes when I say things and do things, I have to flip the switch and say, okay, what if you were on the other side? So, you know, but again, when do you, you know, tell your girlfriend or boyfriend or husband or wife, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. You know, I'm not happy. Do you stay if they're pleading with you? Oh, please give me another chance. We can be happy again. We can do this and you can do this. When you know that you've already stayed 5 years too long, or if you're not married, you know, you've been in a relationship, say you've been in a relationship for 2 years, you stay a year and a half too long. It's like the writing is on the wall. And why do people refuse to see the writing that's on the wall? And in a relationship, why do you have people who want to stay with someone or be with someone? And I know I'm kind of getting off topic here, but I'm going to tie it in. Who want to be with people who don't want to be with them. Okay, Shelby says, sometimes I don't deserve others' kindness. Begging, that's a no-no, but some people do, Lou. Some people do. Some people beg. You know? So if you're that boss and you know that this person who you hired, this worker comes in consistently late, or they're just not doing a good job, but you know that they're struggling at home on a financial level, do you risk your business to keep them on the payroll? And if you're a small mom and pop, you know, you can't afford to keep them on the payroll, who someone who's not producing and doing, you know, what they're supposed to do, and you need to hire someone and replace them. What do you do? Do you keep someone around when they're not performing just because they're having a hard time, or you know they're having a hard time at home? And again, I'm talking about on the financial level, or even if it's an emotional thing. Firing them could put them into a tailspin, but you've talked to them many times and they're just not coming up to speed. When do you cut the cord? And Shelby says, you think it could be that they are obsessed if they bake? You know, Shelby, when people do that in relationships, you know, I tend to kind of wonder, are they going to turn into stalker dude or stalker girl, you know, because you cut them off because you, you know, didn't want to be with them anymore. That's fun. My boss lady begs me for stuff all the time, you know, so. Again, what do? You guys are a quiet group today. So, me, as a boss, I have no problem letting people go. Because at the end of the day, like Lou said earlier, I had to do what's best for me, what's best for my business. And I've been fired before. I've been on jobs where I have been fired. You know, you pick yourself up, you dust. Yeah, you may be pissed, you know, whatever, but I'm not going back into the place to shoot somebody or whatever, you know, okay. Look for another job or do something else. So you've been fired after a week. I mean, I'm telling you, I mean, you know, but some people have a hard time letting people go. You know, again, when do you call it quits? When do you just, you know, say, you know what, guys, screw this, I'm not doing it anymore. You know, do you call it quits because you're getting hints from other people that, you know, you really don't belong here, you shouldn't be here, whatever, and you call it quits, you know, because other people are giving you hints? And Shelby says, that was the job I hated to lose the most. Oh, I'm sorry, Shelby. And Lou says, I used to have a hard time letting people go until their true colors came out. You know, Lou, after a while, a person's true colors are going to come out. I mean, you can only hide behind whatever or for so long. And sooner or later, when you're around someone enough, I'm not going to say that they put their guard down, but I guess they do. But sooner or later, their true colors are going to come out. Unless you're, you know, a master at, you know, being fake with people. I'm talking about, you know, you have those women or men who date, you know, just to get their money. And then once you've given them a certain amount of money or they've cleaned you out, they move on this to someone else. But I truly believe that a person's true colors definitely will come out. You had me looking for a second time, like, wait. So, you know, I don't know. I just think, you know, it's time to exit stage left when things are, you know, not working for you anymore. You aren't having fun. People are getting on your nerve. You feel like you don't fit in, or you're just unhappy, or, you know, it's just time. Sometimes it's just time to move on. You know, like you watch some of those Westerns where the guy says, you know, it's just time for me to move on. I've been here enough. It's time for me to get on my horse and just move on. And for some people, you know, they can't stay in one place for a long time. You know, they do stay in places for a certain amount of time, and then it's time for them to move on. You have people in relationships, people who will never get married. You know, who, you know, they're in a relationship and they're in this relationship for so long, and then they get tired of people and they move on. Have you had an ex-employee beg you not to let them go? I have not had an ex-employee beg to not to let them go, but I have had someone who I worked with in the past, not that they work for me, but I worked with them in the past, and they begged me to hire them in my business. And I said no, because I knew how they were. I knew what their work habits were. And I wasn't going to deal with that. I couldn't afford to deal with it. And I'm not one for drama. Lou says actions speak louder than words. Yes, they do. Good sex can make a bad relationship. Yeah, but what goes on outside of the bed, GP? I mean, can I have a little bit of conversation, please? Can I get some conversation? Say, no, I don't have it like that. I don't have it like some people I know. You know, I mean, you know, GP, I mean, yeah, that can last for a couple of months. But again, like I said, can you talk to me? Can we talk outside of the bedroom? You know? You know, and then that's another thing. What if you're in a relationship where all it is just sex and there's nothing else there, you know, and you're, you know, either you're frustrated or you're bored. I mean, you know, to me, that's another reason to call it quits. You know, it's like if this is all we have, you know, or vice versa is, you know, we get along really well outside the bedroom, and we go into the bedroom and it's just not working. But outside, you know, we have fun and, you know, we're doing this, we're doing that. We click everywhere. But in the bedroom, is that a reason to call it quits? Let's see. Shelby says that's another story about how you know people, about how you know how people act and their family, and they want you to hire them. Oh, Shelby. Oh, sometimes I felt, well, you know, y'all being pretty quiet here, so I'm. I'm working it, Lou. You know, so Shelby, the whole thing with hiring family and friends, you know, my business is doing well. Do I have 300 people working for me? No. However, I have made a rule for myself that I will not hire family. And when I say family, I'm not only my own family, but I will not hire, like, Shelby, if you're working for me, I'm not gonna hire one of your daughters, your husband, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. I'm not doing that, you know. And if I find out that somebody lied, then one or both of y'all are gonna go. So I prefer great sex and quiet time. Oh, that is too much drama, Shelby. It is a lot of drama. It is a lot of drama, you know, and I'm not one for drama. No, it's too much. It's way too much. And Lou, in terms of your great sex and quiet time, okay, that's fine. But after a while, it's like there's a lot more there than just the sex, and even that can get old, you know. Well, no, I'm not gonna say that because that's a whole different show. Oh boy, but again, I ask, when do you call it quits? Do you let the drama go on and on and on and on? I mean, you've been dealing with this drama for a couple of months or years. I mean, how much can you take before you say, I'm leaving? I mean, how much? How much can you take? Because for me, I'm not going to do it. So let's see. Okay. Everyone's liking the show. Well, thank you very much. Y'all are just quiet today. Nobody wants to come up on the panel. Nobody? Okay. That's fine. Oh boy. Let's see. People are liking the show. Minnesota, that's not necessarily true. Joey says, when I realize that the relationship is toxic. And Lou says, the older I get, the shorter my patience gets with people. Lou, the older I get, yes. And my patience with people when I was younger, I've always had, this is coming back to what we were talking about last week. I don't have patience for stupidity. And that's when I call it quits. I can't deal with people who are just, again, for lack of a better term, and I hate to say it, but stupid. You know, the I just can't. Okay, and let's see. TQ says, for me, once the respect factor is out, then I'm out. Yep. Let's see, exactly right. And okay, Minnesota has known me for a long time, and yeah. You know, but TQ, at the same time, with respect, does that also go for a job? Will you let your boss disrespect you because you need that job? Will you let your boss or coworker, you know, consistently disrespect you because you need that paycheck and you need to make rent? You know, okay. You know, but unfortunately, some people do. Some people will allow that. Some people will allow people to do that to them. And TQ says, been there before. And Shelby says, not a coworker. So Shelby, you would let your boss disrespect you for the sake of that paycheck? Okay, if you knew better, then you'll do better. Okay, all right. But you know what? I think that you're also seeing that in today's society, or the, you know, how people are living today, the atmosphere, I guess, that we're in. Shelby says, well, it depends. The boss better not cuss me. Disrespect is disrespect, whether they're cursing you out or whatever. Disrespect is disrespect. But you have a lot of restaurant people, you know, after COVID, they didn't go back to work. You know, you go to a restaurant and you know, they are saying, you know, we need people, please forgive us if the wait time is long or whatever, because a lot of restaurant people are like, I'm getting paid for nothing, and I'm getting paid nothing rather, and they didn't go back to work. Everyone has a limit. Yes, they do. And at a food establishment, no, I'm gone. People still work from home, and COVID is over, and people are also working from home. Lou, is when you look at it, you have a lot of businesses, so I'll say, that called it quits when they said, you know what, it's cheaper for me to have them work from home as opposed to spending money for more office space and those cubicles or whatever, however you're working. You know, you stay home. I can rent less space. You know, and Shelby, you said at a food place, but whether, you know, so you're willing, and again, I'm not picking on you, Shelby. I'm just asking, are you willing to say it's a job, you're making six figures, you hate the job, but you're going to let your boss disrespect you because of your paycheck? And I know a lot of people, again, when it comes to the money factor, money speaks first. The respect factor is later. You know, okay, Shelby says, no, I wouldn't, you know, but again, you have those people that do. You know, their bosses, all this last minute stuff, you know, I need you to travel here. I need you to do this. I need you to work late, whatever. And you've made plans. You have tickets for something. You're going out of town, you know, whatever, but nope, we have to do it. Meanwhile, your boss leaves and you're stuck there. So Lou says, I prefer respect over money. I don't make a lot, but people appreciate my work ethic. You know, and sometimes, you know, that's what it is. At the end of the day, may not make a lot of money, but you can go home with a clean conscience that, you know, no one, you didn't allow someone to step over you. You know, so what if you're in a situation where you've pissed someone off? You've pissed someone off. And you look around and you say, maybe this isn't right for me. Do you leave or what do you do? Let's see. TQ says, I think it just boils down to how much a person can tolerate. I feel that most people let their emotions get the best of them. Shelby says, money isn't everything. I'm great at pissing people off again, an expert. Okay. I'm just going back and reading what TQ says. Most people let their emotions get the best of them. TQ, are you saying that most people let their emotions get the best of them in terms of they make rash decisions and just quit when they were not going to quit, or they'll say something back to that person? So when you say most people let their emotions get the best of them, in what respect, in what regard? I think we all piss people off. Apparently the truth hurts. Go figure. Emotions, clouds, decisions. Okay. Emotions do cloud your decisions. That is definitely true. So I'm going to ask you guys this, since I don't have a panel to ask, you know, I'll ask you guys this. Have you all guys ever been in a situation, or are you in a situation where you need to leave? You know, if, you know, when you look at something, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're dealing with a group, whether you're dealing with your boss, your family, whatever. You need to leave. TQ says, never make a promise when you're happy and never make a decision when you're mad. Wow. Good advice. They make you do dumb stuff. Self-experience, food for thought. Podbean experiences. Oh, Podbean. Yeah, Podbean. Oh boy, you know, you just try to just not partake in the drama. And see, for me, when things become too much drama, that's when I need to exit stage left. Some people may think that I'm part of that drama, or whatever, but, I will leave. I'm not going to give, I'm not going to give, I don't know. You know, you leave before somebody can kick you out. So, you know. But I don't know. So what about family, y'all? Is it okay to leave the family? Is it okay to divorce the family? is it okay to keep the family on one side of the tracks and you're on the other? And I'm not talking about, you know, you're a mother, father, and you leave your family, but I'm going to talk about that too. But just, you know, you're just tired of your siblings. You're tired of your mother and father. You're tired of your cousins. You're, you know, they always pop up, you know, when they're, you know, they don't call, whatever. What do? Do you just don't open the door anymore? Do you, you know, change your phone number? What do you do? Do you leave the family? Lou says, you definitely know when it's time to walk away from something. May I dig my hole deeper? Shelby. Wish it was a joke. So, I mean, what do you do? Because there are some family members, and if they ever watch this show, for whatever reason, they happen upon it, whatever, they know exactly who I'm talking about. They don't have my address. They don't have my phone number. They know what state I live in. But if, you know, on occasion people have said, hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, wants to know, you know, your phone number. Can I? Nope. You know, and some family members, they just have my P.O. box because I don't want the drama. I don't want the drama. Don't bring your drama to my front door. I do not want to deal with it. She always says my family can kiss it. You know, I mean, seriously, you know, I'm known in my family for being rude. who thought, she's mean. Why? Because I don't want you coming over and plopping on my sofa for the next, you know, three months because you're sorry. Nope. You know, so what do you do? When is the time to just say, you know, it's time to go. It's time to go. Lou says, my immediate family is all I ever had to depend on through my struggles. Okay. All right. You know, so, and then going to the mother and father that leave the home, you know, people have their reasons for doing things. Is it something that you'll regret later? I don't know. But when is it, you know, at what point do you get pushed to call it quits? And like TQ says, everyone has their tolerance. I mean, there people can only tolerate so much, and then it's time to go. You know, if you're on Podbean, how long do you allow this one person to keep coming back before you block them? You know, do you block them right away? Do you, you know, do you wait to see what else that they're going to do? And then you block them. I mean, you know, and Lou says, I don't tolerate liars. Okay. All right. I mean, what do you do? And do these people know when you finally cut the cord, do these people know why? Or do you have to spell it out for people? You know, if you're on Facebook or Twitter or Insta or whatever platform you're on, TikTok, whatever, and you block someone, you know, do they know why they're getting blocked? And I'm not saying it's somebody that usually you're blocking people that you don't know. They've made a comment in your whatever, and it's like, okay, you know, block, whatever. But, how far do you go? Do you let the comments keep going on and on and on and on? You know, I have someone who sent me something on Instagram, and I didn't know who they were. I'm like, who are you? And they told me who they were, and they said, to unblock them on Podbean. And you know, I thought it was funny because they had to go to my Instagram, which I never, ever checked. And when I checked it, it was like, the message came in, like it had already come in like a month or so ago. And I guess they saw that I was on and they sent me another message saying, but they didn't say, will you please? It was just like, you know, can you take the block off? And I said, no, you know, and I said, you know, and they said, well, you block me because of I said this in the chat. And I said, no, I block you. And some of you all may have been on my show. This has been well over a year. I said, I didn't block you because of what you said in chat. I blocked you because when you came on my panel, you called me a lousy piece of shit. That's why I block you. So, you know, and this person pops in every so often, you know, and they say, well, you know, I like your show, whatever. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm happy for it. Listen to it on a download because you don't come back from calling somebody, at least for me, calling me a lousy piece of shit. So, you know, so, yeah. But like you said, people can only tolerate so much. So again, I say, when do you call it quits? And for me, depending upon what you did, I will give you a second choice, a second chance if you're a repeat offender. No, you don't keep getting that chance over and over and over. I recently pissed somebody off, you know, whatever. And it's like, it's time for me to go. You know, it is time for me to go. So, I mean, even still, you know, within yourself, you know, you have to realize when it's time to go before they tell you to go. Stilts and Crucible, welcome. Shelby says, I know some I would call that, but I'm too polite to do that. Well, apparently they didn't mind saying that to me. Lou says, I don't give second chances anymore, and I'm sticking to it because I wouldn't do what people have done to me. Okay, all right. You know, so, I mean, I don't know. I mean, everyone has their threshold. Everyone has, you know, again, going back to what TQ says, everyone has their tolerance level. People can only tolerate so much, whether, again, it's your job, it's a relationship, it's a group you're in, it's your family, you know, whatever, you know, when is it time to leave? When is it time to make that graceful exit? When is it time to just say, you know what, I'm just not dealing with this anymore. I'm gone. When do you fire that employee who you've talked to them, you've given them this chance, you've given them that chance, you know, whatever, but you know that they're struggling on a financial level. Is that a reason to keep someone? I don't think that it is, because if you're struggling, can you make a point to get to work on time? Or when you're at work, you're not doing your job the way it is supposed to be done. So how long do you carry those people? You know, it's like, you can't afford to do that. You know, you cannot afford to, you know, carry someone. You know, I need to replace you. Welcome, bro. You know, I need to replace you. So, what do you do? Shelby says, Lou, tell me about it. It took me 20 years to learn that struggling financially can affect you mentally. That is true, Lou. But once again, is it your employer's duty to keep someone who is not doing their job? And, you know, it's like, okay, I'll give you this break. And sometimes you have other people around you going, well, that's not fair. You know, I came in late the other day and I was written up. They're not being written up. Or, you know, so-and-so did this and they got fired, but yet, you know, so-and-so is still here. That's not fair. So, Crucible, welcome.
Hey, Salad. Yeah, like people have been saying in the chat, we all have different tolerance levels for things. And there isn't just one thing we're all dealing with. Like you were listing them, we've got family, we've got work, we've got friends, we've got financial, we've got everything coming at us. And there's just days and times when we can tolerate more than other times. And I think when you exit stage left or when you extricate yourself from the situation is when the situation starts to manage you. It starts to compromise your principles or your ethics. It starts to change the fundamentals of what you are as a person. And once you start to compromise, I think then you're starting to give up a piece of yourself. You're compromising too much and you're giving in. So I think it's different for everybody, but that would be it for me. When I see the needle starting to move towards, this is uncomfortable for me because I'm not doing what I believe anymore. I'm making excuses. I'm making exceptions. That's when I would start to look in the mirror and say, now you're becoming part of the problem.
Okay, so hold on. Let me give a formal welcome to Crazy and Mr. B. Great times. Welcome back. So, so would you keep someone on the payroll who is consistently late or who is just not doing their job the way they should, and you have repeatedly told them, but you know that on a financial side, they are struggling and they need that job. But you also have someone who came in late the other day and they were written up, or that other person who was consistently late or wasn't doing their job and they were fired. So what do you do?
Well, on a basic level, one of the first principles of being a manager of anything is to be consistent. That'll be the thing that blows you up the quickest. When you start to look like you're applying double standards, you're applying standards unevenly, you're playing favorites and things like that, I would be very strict in that area. You get, and everybody gets the same thing. I'll give you a warning. Maybe we'll get two warnings depending on the circumstances. But after that, you're out. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of a job you do. It's not about performance. It's about adhering to standards. And if one person comes in late and another person comes in late and one gets written up and the other, whatever the circumstances are, we've all seen it in the workplace. We've all seen it sometimes with our parents. Life is not fair. I think we all get that. But there's a time at which you've got to kind of draw some lines. And I think you will then begin, and for a lot of people in those roles, it becomes a case of self-preservation. You are going to do yourself so much self-inflicted damage. You're going to harm your image so much. You're going to come across as inconsistent, wishy-washy, unfair, whatever the case may be. And now you're in jeopardy of losing your job. So a lot of these decisions are just made on, hey, pal, better you than me, okay? Because if I don't do this, someone's going to do it to me. So the old expression, stuff rolls downhill. You've got to be consistent because you get one chance to be consistent. You got one chance to make a first impression, and then everybody makes up their mind from there, and you lose total control of the narrative.
Okay. All right. All right. You know, because, you know, when you look back, yes, people come in late and they get their pay docked, you know, whatever. What do you tolerate? When do you say that this is not going to work? When do you, and what if you have that person who comes up to you and says, Crucible, I'm having a really rough time. My car broke down. I have to take the bus. But the bus schedule is this and this and this. So, I know I'm supposed to be here at 9, but with the bus schedule and stuff, I can't walk through the door until not 9:15. Can I leave 15 minutes early because the bus is the next bus isn't for like an hour and a half later, whatever. And then when they're on the job, like I said, they're just not performing. They're not performing well. And see me, I'm telling you, get up earlier, get on that earlier bus so you can be here at 9 o'clock. I'm telling you, then you'll have to wait until an hour and a half to catch that next bus because it isn't fair. It isn't fair to that other person who does have a car and they got caught in traffic and that's why they were late, whatever. So, like you said, yes, you have to be consistent, but is there ever leeway when you do give that person some rope? Crucible, that was a question for you. Okay, maybe he got a call.
No, I'm sorry. I was muted there. I'm sorry. What was the question again, Solid? I'm sorry. I was starting to answer. I was starting to answer all to myself, and I heard you talking. I'm like, uh-oh.
I don't want to repeat what I just said because it was wrong.
No, but I think what you said about consistency is you have to be consistent, and you have to be accountable for everybody else in the organization. So if somebody to me, it looks like strike one and strike two. You're not on time. You could be on time if you chose to make some different decisions, and you're not necessarily a good performer. That's strike one and strike two in my book, and strike three is not far away. But if we had a situation, I'm not necessarily proud of it, but I handled it the way I felt I should handle the time. Long time ago, we had an employee who was a great, great sales engineer, but he had a drinking problem. Everybody in the office loved this guy to death. They wanted him on appointments. They loved him. But he didn't show up a lot of times. He was late. He would miss appointments. I came so close to terminating this guy so many times, but I gave him a break over and over again. In the long run, he turned out to be a really good employee. I got away with that because he was so well-liked and respected for his acumen and for his skills. If he were a different type of a performer, I would have worn that one for sure.
Okay, but Crucible, okay, so because that person was well-liked, but let's say you had someone who did the exact same thing. I'm not going to say that people dislike them, but they were just, you know, somebody who, okay, I know who that person is, but they're not well-liked, whatever. That person probably would have been fired.
Very true. He would have been. There's no question about it.
Right. So basically in the court of, what the public sees or what everyone sees, what everyone else, oh, well, he's really, really nice. Okay. Well, I'm a nice person too, but I may not go around, you know, shaking everybody's hand and doing whatever. I just come and do my job. But if I did the exact same thing that other person did or anybody else did, you know, drinking on the job and what have you, that is a no-no. So to me, are you not opening up yourself for a lawsuit? Someone else had gotten fired?
Yeah, at a minimum, I compromised my principles. I compromised my standards. I knew I was doing it. I had a conversation with my boss about it, and he was aware of how I was handling it. He was in agreement, although he was reluctant. So at the time, I knew I was violating the things I tried to preach to everybody else. So yes, to answer your question, I certainly did open myself up for some kind of a discrimination thing. I don't, in retrospect, think I handled it correctly. I was more erring on the side of empathy and support as opposed to, hey, dude, we got a business to run here. And acting accordingly. I don't know how people would have responded if I would have terminated him. He was very, very, very well liked. So it's a tough one, but I think I made a mistake personally.
Okay. And Lou says, I think when you have to compromise yourself, that's when it's time to let loose. Okay. So, again, it's like, you know, we face situations all the time when, you know, we're in places where you want to say something to somebody, but you don't, you know, you want to fire this person, but you don't, you want to, you know, hire this person, but you don't, because, you know, your mother or your father or whomever is saying, well, you know, can you hire my friend? You know, they really need a job, but okay, but they're not qualified, but you give in anyway. You know, you want to tell people, you know, you need to do this, this, and this, but you don't because you're afraid of how they're going to react. But at the same time, do people know when they're pushing it? Like, Crucible, did this person know that they were pushing it? Do they know that, I'm even going to ask you, was it to a point where this person was taking advantage knowing that, well, everybody likes me?
No, Not at all. He had a serious problem. He would come into my office and talk to me about it. He was very apologetic. He would apologize to the salespeople when he missed an appointment. He was very contrite, which was part of why I decided to do what I did.
Okay. All right. Well, again, you know, you look at, you know, some of the, you know, situations like that, and if someone else, maybe not even in the same department, wasn't, you know, they were coming in late because, you know, they couldn't get a babysitter for their kids or whatever, more than likely they would have been fired. And again, if they knew what was going on in your department, that would have been a lawsuit. And it would have been a lawsuit that was fair, you know? But again, when do you call it quits? When do you look at people and say, I cannot do this anymore? And I'm talking you telling your boss, I cannot do this anymore. I do not, you know, this is not an enjoyable place to work. I'm not going to deal with your going off on me, cussing people out, doing this, doing that. Even if you're not even doing it to me, you're doing it to other people, which makes the work, you know, place not good. You know, when do you tell people that I'm done? I am done. I'm not doing this anymore. And if you get pissed off, okay. But the bottom line is, it's what's best for me. It's what's best for my psychological well-being. I mean, is that, you know, and then for those relationships, for those people who are, you know, stay with people because they're afraid of what that person might say. You know, you have those people who are in marriages and they're may be in a domestic violence situation and they stay because that person could do them harm. You know, do you want to live the rest of your life like that? I mean, sometimes do you just have to take that risk? You know, humble dog, what welcome, and Shorty, a formal welcome to you. You know, do you want to take that risk? And we were talking earlier, do you stay with that person who doesn't want to be with you? You know that your boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, they don't want to be with you anymore. Do you beg that person to stay? And if they do stay, you know, even though you're trying to convince yourself, but you know in the back of your head, this person cannot stand me. Every day they look at me, they're hating me even more. But, you know, but when y'all go out, you're happy, you're smiling, you know, whatever, and they're just miserable. You know, do you want to be with someone where the other person is miserable? I don't know.
Well, we all, you know, self-respect is a very subjective thing. When some person says, well, I'm just standing up for myself, I'm showing self-respect, somebody else may say, no, you're being a doormat. You're not standing up for yourself. So it's a very subjective thing, but we all have pride. We all have self-esteem. We all have an idea of how we want to be treated. And as an ancillary kind of an observation, if you're in a management position and you're on a shaky situation with your boss and you're having these conversations, I can't do this anymore, the environment's not right, I don't like working here, whatever the situation you're complaining about, trust me, 100%, because I've been in the situation, everybody under you and everybody around you knows exactly what's going on, and they're watching you, and they're watching how you handle the situation. They're not going to say anything to you because it's none of their business, and if they're working under you, it's certainly none of their business. But it doesn't mean they're not paying attention. So then suddenly the respect for you starts to erode and your confidence level starts to go down. Who knows what happens? Somebody mentioned mental health. It could also affect your physical health. So yeah, I think in those environments, you got to stand up for yourself because it's only going to get worse.
Well, I mean, and when people are watching you, I mean, I kind of, you know, I'm going to push back on that some, because when I say that, people say, I can't take anymore, whatever, I'm talking about people who work with bosses who are just toxic, or that workplace is just toxic. And they're coming to you and they're saying, I'm not dealing with this anymore. So I don't think that person is going to lose respect at all. They are standing up. They are standing up for themselves. And they are saying, I'm not dealing with this shit anymore. You know, you have treated me like this, or every day you come in and you're yelling at this person, or you're doing this to that person. The environment is bad because management, or this one particular supervisor, this one particular manager, has made it that way. And then people over them have probably allowed it, you know. So I don't think they're going to, you know, the person who comes and says, I'm not dealing with this anymore, I don't think they're going to lose respect at all. If anything, they may motivate other people to say, you know what, I'm not dealing with it either. And then you have a mass walkout. So,
right. And that's a good, I'm going to make one more comment and I'll let you go, Solid. You make a really good point. That last point is a lot of it has to do with, if you create, or at least you don't disperse, a toxic environment, you're going to have a hard time holding on to people. And if anybody who's ever been in a management role knows anything about it, finding and keeping good people is the essence of your success or failure. So that alone, just from a self-preservation standpoint, you're going to make your job infinitely harder by not addressing these things, because you're going to lose. Who cares if the bad people leave, right? You want them to leave. But when the good people start to go and the reputation starts to spread that the environment's not a healthy one, you're going to be battling an uphill thing until it's time for you to be fired.
You know, and that's when, you know, you leave before they fire you. And even if they do fire you, you try to get unemployment, and they try to go against it. It's like, you know, I have all this right here showing why I got fired, and this. So, you know, let's see, Bro says, some people are hired for having ill behavior. Jobs love them because they perform the dirty work. This is true. Minnesota says, never be a doormat. Lou says, I worked at a dealership for 15 years. It was always toxic, but it was part of the job. See, I don't see how being in a toxic place is part of a job. I mean, that's right there to me. That's always created. And then Bro says, they create an environment that fosters high turnover rate. Then they don't have to pay insurance or other benefits. That is true too. There are some places that do that. They want that, you know, that turnover. But at the same time, it also costs money to train other people. I mean, I'd rather have people, you know, stay, you know, who are good for 10 years, and I pay them benefits and what have you, as opposed to having, you know, to every 3 months or 6 months or whatever, people are leaving and I have to replace you. I mean, that, you know, no. So, but this is the world that we live in. So, again, is there anybody here who isn't, you don't have to say what the situation is, but is in a situation where it's time for you to leave? And Shelby says, yeah, that's what Sean deals with. He is a hard worker, but there are several that don't want to work at all. And Bro says, most jobs can be performed by handicapped rabbit. Oh, bro. handicapped rabbit. I'm trying to think about what a handicapped rabbit is. I'm sorry, Chris, but what did you just say?
I said nobody try to take that too personally, since we all have jobs, right?
Oh boy. Meanwhile, one of these alphabet people could be somebody's boss. hey, bro, welcome.
Hey, bro.
You there? Okay, he's probably going to go and come back in. He usually has to do that. A handicapped rabbit. Yep. I'm trying to figure out exactly what that is. Oh, Lord. But you know what? You know, you look around and, you know, you look around at the restaurants and some of these real retail places and stuff. People are fed up. They are fed up. Bro, are you back? Okay, he's having some issues. I'm not going to follow the white rabbit. Okay, let's try this again.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now, bro.
I knew there had to be a "can you hear me now" in there somewhere.
Let me say this, y'all. I might have to start paying my taxes a little bit better. I think the government is spying on me. No, but what I was saying was solid was the trainer aspect that come from a lot of it don't have to be that serious. Because most jobs is like a watershed. Like if you picking up a item and putting it in a box, you don't need that much training for that. A rabbit with a brace around his ankle could do that. You understand? You know, so most jobs, those are the type of jobs that don't want to pay benefits, that don't want to pay insurance.
But those are also the jobs that they're okay. But bro, you also have to think those are also the jobs that are part time. So they're not paying benefits and insurance anyway.
No, do you know what? Solid. Let me say this: since COVID, everything is going full time. Let me tell you why: because most people don't come to work no more. So the people that would have been taking a load to give people the advantage to go part time, that amount of people don't. Solid. When COVID came, the government was giving people up to $5,000 jobs. Mm-hmm. Just to go to work. People didn't want to go to work. Somebody had laid home under the pandemic rules and gained 777 pounds. They was the luckiest.
I swear, bro, sometimes I think you make some of this shit up anyway.
See.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I saw somebody, and she was looking like her name was Stimulus Check Quisha. That was her whole name, Stimulus Check Quisha. And she had got big. She was blowing bubble gum with chicken wings from Church's Chicken.
Oh, Lord. I'm just going to say, I just want to read what Lou said. She gained exactly 777 pounds. Exactly. 777 pounds. Bro, I understand what you're saying, but on the books, those people are part-time and they're working overtime. They will work overtime, but as long as they are on the books as part-time, they are not getting benefits.
I know, but solid, those jobs, they don't get the people that's coming out of Harvard and Yale University.
No, you're coming out of Harvard and Yale. Are you going to unpack a box? I mean, unless you really, really, really...
No, they're not coming out of Harvard and Yale, they coming out of non-heaven and hell. You know non-heaven and hell, that's where they didn't go to heaven, but they wasn't bad enough to make it to hell either. So they just sent them to that job. And they
so
don't
they went
have...
to purgatory.
Yeah, see, solid. Let me find out non-heaven and hell.
Okay, bro, let me just ask a question. This is a yes or no question, okay?
Okay.
You promise me you'll answer it yes or no?
I try.
I need a promise.
Okay, I'm going to let you handcuff me this one time. All right, okay. This one time. Go ahead.
All right. You make this shit up, don't you?
No, solid, no. No, because it's real.
Because
you know, solid, if you go to certain jobs, and it's a type of environment where, you know, everybody appreciate being there and they got certain, you know, degreeship and stuff. They not going to do the crazy things that the job will go down to KFC and be like, you can work a cash register, then you need to come and work for. They don't do that like that. People come in there with credentials and things of that nature. They might see them selling rabbits on the sidewalk and be like, you're just the individual we're looking for. Every job don't do that.
Oh, Lord. And Minnesota, 777-973-11. Y'all remember that song? I'm sorry. I'm just making myself crack up now.
Dial 777 stimulus. Right, bro?
I understand what you're saying, but again, a lot of those part-time people, and I've been reading these stories about these, about people working at Walmart, and they are fed up. They're fed up with the managers. They're fed up they're just fed up. And Walmart has been losing people left and right. So
you know why though, right? The second or the third wave of COVID is coming. Do you know in the city of Columbus, Ohio, we got our COVID went up like 60% over the last 4 months. They can start keeping us home again. Now people don't want to go to work no more. It was a lady. She went to work with her head wrapped up. And they said, "Why your head wrapped up?" She said, "Cause my knee hurt." See, when you start,
you make this stuff up. I'm telling you, you make this stuff up. Go ahead.
Her head was wrapped because her knee was hurting. And now they said, "Okay, if they doing it like that, we just gonna let them go ahead and get unemployment again." And people just trying to make sure they one of the ones that get on there. That's why they want to leave work. That's why they fed up. Because everybody might get that $600 or $900, you know, stimulus.
First of all, I don't think the stimulus checks are coming back, and I also do not think that people are quitting and staying home from Walmart because of COVID. I think that ship has passed. I think they don't want to work because they're fed up with the freaking job.
No, the covetousness. Listen, the covetousness of the.
We went back to his made up words.
Well, the covetousness of the situation is one that's extreme right now. It is really extreme. Like,
oh, Lord.
COVID is really on the rise. It's coming. Watch the news. Go to MSN and CNBC, and they will
tell. And they're saying the covetousness.
Yes, it's coming back. Well, you like covetousness. Solid. I think you was all right with staying in the house and perform. What was it called when you had to stay in the house? Quarantining. I think you love quarantine because I think you was working out and singing and stuff on the microphone that you be sitting on talking on.
Oh, well, first of all, when COVID hit, I was not working in an office. So, that did not affect me. So staying home was not a big deal. I'm sorry, bro. Go ahead.
You was chilling already then, huh? That's what's me too, though, Solid. Because, you know, when you was asking about like a job, like can some people get away with certain things on a job? Well, say for instance, you work for me. And you sold your soul, and I decided to buy it. You can get away with certain things. You understand? Say, for instance, I had a male coworker, and I knew that a lot of the other coworkers that was around him, you know, they respected him. And look, I'm going to make him the supervisor. You know why? Because I know he could tell anybody he fired, and I don't have to worry about, you know, getting the beat down or nothing. You know, beat downs, they, you know, somebody need to take that fall for you. Or if it was like a real pretty lady, she can miss all the days she want as long as the quarantine value of what she did for her boss was cool. You know, I would put quarantine value.
I'm sorry. You kind of lost me because now I'm like,
that's because, Solid, I'm not trying to say things straight up. I'm waiting for y'all to guess those things because I know somebody caught it.
Oh,
so, you know, solid.
Well, I was. I can tell you, I was not one of those people who was working in a place and had to stay home, whatever. I was already doing my own thing, whatever. But I, you know, bro, I'm sorry. I don't even know.
See, solid, because you already know I'm right. Solid. I know you. You have shown favoritism.
How much? Who am I showing favoritism for? For who? Who am I showing favoritism for?
I guarantee you had your favorite UPS delivery guy when you was home during COVID. And you probably called and requested him. And they said, why is she doing that? Because you wanted him to get a particular route. You probably was doing that for other people's companies. Let me find out, Sally.
Okay. So are y'all following this? Now I'm showing favoritism to the UPS guy. Of course, crazy. I know he's making this shit up. I know.
You know what? I love Crazy is my favorite thug because she got a knife in her name, Solid Blue. Anybody that got a knife in their name, you gotta respect it. Now, you know, Lord. Somebody might have a gun, but I guess a knife would keep you alive as well. I don't know. So she might be crazy.
The configurations with the covetousness or whatever the hell.
See.
Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus. Lord help me.
Solid Blue, you be starting stuff. You really
how am I starting
do.
Stuff? You would be here talking about the, how am I starting stuff? How am I starting anything? I'm listening to you make up
yo,
shit about
says
77 pound people with cocoa viciousness having favoritism with the UPS man during COVID and trying to get people on certain routes.
See, that's because, Sally, if you a business owner, you have that type of power. You can do that. Like, do you know I could make oodles and noodles standing up? I don't have to sit down to make them. You ever sat down and made some noodles? See, I'll be standing up making my noodles. I'll be waiting for the water to boil.
Okay, first of all, yes, I do eat noodles, and yes, on occasion, I eat those ramen noodles, but no matter what I'm boiling, I'm not going to watch the pot boil. I am going to walk away and do something
else. What if you go sit down, Solid, and you get so comfortable that you don't want to get back up and you boil?
You are in the Matrix. You are in the Matrix, bro. I didn't.
Oh, I was saying, I don't want to burn water. If you say, for instance, you don't watch the pot boil and you go sit down and you get real comfortable, you might not want to get back up. Then when you do finally decide to get up,
if I go and sit down and I know that the pot is boiling, usually, first of all, I'm not like I'm going into another room. I'll sit down in the kitchen, whatever, and you can hear the water start to boil. So you get up and you go.
Read what Shorty just wrote.
What is Shorty to see? Y'all, okay, the topic has been, yes, it has been completely lost. Blame covetousness, yes. On the corner of
no, she's
crazy. Don't start. Shorty says, if you burn water, you need to go somewhere and go to
yo,
sleep.
See? See, let me find out y'all don't be burning water.
Oh, Lord. You know, and now here comes Shorty. Here comes Shorty.
See?
Listen.
Hey, Shorty.
Hey, Solid. What's up, Shorty? What's up, Muck? Listen,
Shorty,
you burn
please
water.
Take me out. Please take me out of this.
See.
Please get me out of the coviciousness of 777 pounds.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a lot of weight, Solid. That's a lot for me to try to get you out of. I don't know about this COVID. What is covetous? What is that word?
Covetousness. That was the covetousness of the covetousness of the whole situation.
What is this word you coming up with, yo? Covetousness, that word don't even exist.
Yes, it do.
40 for the past 3 weeks.
See, no, you got to understand the ramifications.
Making up words.
Oh my God.
No, you got to understand the ramifications of association.
Yeah. The ramifications.
Listen, why would you walk? Oh my God. Why would you walk away from water boiling and you went finna make some noodles? That's a no-no in the kitchen. That's one-on-one thing you don't do.
That's why you gotta stand up, Shorty Baby.
I'm not gonna stand there watching water boil. I said I will still be in the kitchen, but I'm not gonna stand and look at the pot while they're watching the
water boil. That's fine. That's fine. You put your water on the boil and then you go do something else, but you still got that eye on it.
Right,
but
right. I'm still what I'm right. I'm
talking about. You want to go sit down in the living room somewhere and go in there and leave your pot. You gonna burn the whole pot up in the house and you gonna go ahead and go sit down over there. You gonna be one burnt.
That's what I'm saying. You can't sit down and cook noodles.
But you said you're gonna go.
You gotta stand up and make spaghetti. You ever notice standing noodles taste better?
Okay. Let me ask a question here.
Please do.
Okay, so when I'm cooking, mm-hmm. I am standing up, and I it's not like I'm sitting down. Okay, so I don't understand what you're saying. And Crazy says, "Configure the frog to drive on the lake of the configuration." Crazy, don't
see,
start.
You know
don't
what? Crazy got
crazy,
that knife.
Don't start that.
She got that knife.
Crazy, don't start with the crazy. Of the fuckity fucks and all.
Listen, the fuckity fuck fucks is okay to do the fuckity fuck fucks, but his Lord. Fuckity fucks up.
Crazy,
fucks is
stop.
See, great.
Oh,
that's my girl.
He went there. Crazy.
What's up, Chillwell?
Crazy, you went there, and my twin sister is not in the house. So,
oops. Yeah. Hey, honey.
Chill.
But look, if you can sit down in the kitchen, you understand? You can have a little chair in there. You can sit down in there, as long as you're still in the kitchen. Like, not if you exit the kitchen while you cooking. That's something totally different.
Well, you gotta be different today. You can't be the same OG from 1973. It don't work like that.
What is this stuff coming out your mouth? Do you even know what you're saying? Do you even comprehend?
That's why I said you make this shit up. So I'm gonna get chill. If you want to talk, you have to pop in. Chill, you there?
Can y'all hear me without an echo?
I agree with
bro. You can't leave them noodles. You can't leave them noodles right there. You know you're gonna burn that water. Some people know when they like. I'll do it all the time. I sit down and then have to put water back in. You ain't ever did that. Sit there with that water. You had to put water back in the pot because you sat there and let it boil too long.
Again, you hear the water boiling.
You can smell that pot too. You can smell it though. You can smell it burning. When
you can,
water
but
in
why
there.
Would you do
now,
that?
Now everybody's talking about.
I've got one thing to say. I had an aunt who could not cook. She boiled water all the time. Burnt water all the time. So that's
okay,
crazy.
The echo is coming from Chill. That's why I put you on mute, Chill. You know, as Luce said.
But just like this, if you're a manager, right, over a kitchen and the person burns water, I'm sorry, you out.
Of course you're out.
You're fine. You gone.
Same time, how many people actually burn water?
A lot.
My aunt did all the time.
You'll be surprised, Solid, how many people can burn some water.
On a consistent basis. So if you are a chef or something and you have to boil some water, I'm pretty sure this chef is not going to consistently burn water.
So you're trying to make tea, and it's always nothing.
We ain't nothing. Talking about being a chef. Now, if you were chef burning water, and you went to school for this, and your mama taught you well, something wrong with you. Yeah. Not them, something wrong with you. But there's a lot of people that burn amnesia. Water. Whoa. I have a cousin that sit up there and burns water, and I sit up there and look at him like, what's wrong with you?
But I'm saying, but if you are, I'm not going to watch the pot, but I will. I am local in the kitchen where I can hear the water start to, you know, you start to hear that shh, whatever, you know, and then you go and you go take care of your noodles.
Make that sound again. Make that sound again.
See, I can't make sounds or anything because Shorty and Crazy will take it and just twist it into fucking fuck.
Ooh, so when you make water, make it sound like you're taking a shower.
Oh, we ain't do nothing with the jiggles.
What you say? When you cook, you gotta stay local, right? You gotta be local. You can't do nothing long distance. You can't go upstairs local, and do other stuff. You gotta stay local. Jiggle.
See, Shorty. See. So y'all gonna make me have
solid
on Thursday.
Solid.
I'm trying to keep it local.
Yes. Show on
yes, Thursday is the fuckity fuck show. Yes, do it
and see and Crazy. Stop it. Crazy. Back.
The topic was about being a manager, and I got fired by my own people. I didn't know that could happen. That's a true story. I was supervisor. And my crew fired me. I didn't know that could happen.
Well, apparently, you know now. Cause you know now because it happened. Oh, boy.
And my job said, you can come back after a year. Let's come back.
Says, when did this become fun Thursday? When the covetousness of the trajectory of the configurationness of the whateverness. That's when.
Shoot, that's prison talk.
Oh, Crucible, you have anything to say? Because I'm about to wrap this puppy up.
I lost my GPS about 20 minutes ago, and I have not been able to find my way back since then. So I'm probably not going to be.
It's okay, Crucible.
I've been laughing, but I've been translating as well. So I don't really speak well.
See, Crucible, another person that boiled burned.
Yeah, I didn't know you burned. I thought you boiled it. But what do I know, right?
Chill, do you want to say anything?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about the manager stuff. I missed that part. But I do know that y'all shouldn't be eating ramen noodles no damn way. So I don't know why y'all eating that stuff. That's don't even digest. I want y'all to stay away from them. Boil some real spaghetti noodles. And then, you know, like I always say it, nice talking to y'all. See y'all smiling faces and voices. And wash your.
Oh, Lord. Help us all. Help us all.
Did you say you put a peppermint up your butt? Is that what he said?
Why a peppermint got to be put up your butt? The butt smell good now?
If you were on a previous show, he said, wash your butt, and you would know where that came from. It came from a previous show. B, do you have any last words?
No, not really. Just when you boil water, just keep an eye on it because it will burn.
Shorty, do you have any last words?
I just want to thank you for letting me come up on your panel with all the jigglies and the fuckity fucks. I appreciate you.
Okay, Shorty. Bro, do you have any last brief words?
Yes. Thank you for letting me come up here. And my words have been so bitter and bitterly received. I got to go and brush my teeth now because I got to get back the crispness of, you know, the mouth-nacity.
Stop it.
I got to get it back.
Stop it.
The whole egosis. It's about three of them, three Holy Ghosts. You know the Holy Ghosts? it's the Holy Ghost. I got about three of them in my mouth now. I got to get them all up out of there. Get them up out.
What's in your mouth,
right,
Mark?
Solid Blue.
What is in your mouth?
The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is in my mouth. And you know, if the Holy Ghost, they kind of fat. And I got to brush them out. That's the only way I can get rid of them.
Why don't you ask that 777-pound woman to come help?
Oops.
No, because she'll brush my jawbone. She'll brush my jawbone. Her hands is too heavy. When you got a 777-pound woman, you got to ask her to do only strenuous things. Like I'll be asking her to take my beer caps off that you can only get off with the beer cap on.
Look, you know what?
She can pull them off with her bare hands,
stop
with bare mittens.
Oh, trying to Lord. Say she's your human can opener. That's
that
what you're trying to
sounds
say?
Like love, boy.
Yeah, but she changed my tires too.
I don't know. I don't know if I want her opening up my can. I kind of have the visual for that. I don't know. I don't want her opening up any of my cans. Like I said, I have that visual, and it don't look too good.
I'm gonna send her over. Her name is Big Squeezer. You know Big Squeezer.
No, you want to meet somebody? You want to meet Diana? Diana got something for you if you want to meet Diana. Oh. Diana beat our Squeezer.
You for real? Well, because I be collecting the fatties. Now, come on. I love some unhealthy, unsavory women. If they unhealthy, I buy them by the pound. Got to get up, get the get down.
Now, if you can afford it by the pound, you got a good job. That's all I say.
Yeah,
no, I
got
to
take all
goodness.
Your money. Ooh, all I want that food. Look, that.
No, but once I get them,
I was done a half hour ago.
Once I get them solid, they pay like they weigh. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it all work out in the end.
So when you
money
take
them
out,
money to spend.
Well, you take them out, it's easier to find me. You can't lose them. Like, there she is.
I don't take them out. They take each other out.
That is wrong on so many levels. That
I
is
found
wrong.
Love.
That is wrong on so many levels.
I found
all right,
love.
Y'all. I'm clearing my panel. So y'all get off my panel.
Oh, solid. Solid, you kicking me off.
I'm kicking y'all off so I can play my outro song and y'all take and go.
All right, I'll leave. You don't have to kick me. Yeah. I'll leave.
I'll leave too.
And like Jill says, don't forget to wash your butt. So. Oh, Lord, 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 Lord. Yeah, I do have my topic for Thursday. Thanks to Shorty. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. Y'all, I'm tired now. I am tired. Oh, tomorrow's show is going to be a serious show. Maybe. Depends upon who comes up on the panel. Chill, Bro, Shorty, Crucible, B. It depends. You know. So, I don't know. But I'm going to leave y'all with a little bit of Gladys. Here you go.
So he's leaving the life he's come to know. Ooh.
He said he's going
back to find.
Going back to find.
Ooh, 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 what's left of his world. The world he left behind not so long. Said he's going back,
going back
to a simpler place and time. Oh, yes, he is.
But he sure found out the hard way that dreams don't always come true. Oh no. So he pined all his hopes. And he even sold his old car. Bought a one-way ticket back to the life he once knew. Oh yes he did. He said it. Said he's going back to find, a simpler place and time.
And that's it, everyone. Thank you so much for joining today. And Shorty, Bro, B, Crucible, who else was on the panel? Chill, thank you so much for joining the panel. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your day or evening, wherever you are in the world. And I hope to see you tomorrow. Bye.